Our second reading this morning is from the book of Colossians, and Paul wrote all of these letters to the churches in Asia and the surrounding areas as they were spreading out, and the gospel of Christ was spreading across for them the entire world at that point in time. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints, the faith and love that springs from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven and that you have already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace in all its truth. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. Here ends the reading of the scripture. May God lend his understanding to the reading of this word.
Thank you, Julie. For those of you who are visiting for the first time, I have, other than last week, which was Father's Day, I have been doing a series on the good works, and I wanted to again preface this Sunday with this. In the Church of Jesus Christ, we sometimes emphasize so much, and rightfully so, that we are saved by grace, not by works. And in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, that is so clear, and I am one who advocates that absolutely, because that's what the Word of God says. That being said, sometimes in the Church of Jesus Christ, we spend so much time talking about being saved by grace and thanking God that he saved us from our sins, that we forget as a response to that and living our life, we live a life that is a life of love and honor and glory to him, which includes good deeds done in his name. And what I wanted to do, and it was inspired by an article I read several weeks ago by a Dr. Mascala at Andrews University. He gave five reasons there, and there are many more, and I kind of modified a couple of these of why good deeds are good. Why we as Christians should emphasize that. And I wanted to share with you real briefly the first three and then get into the fourth one this morning. The first three deal with how the good works, the good deeds that we do, have an effect on others. It's not about us. It's about them. It's about others. First one is, our good works aren't important for our salvation, but crucial for the salvation of others. Second one is, our good works or deeds reveal the quality of our relationship with God. Again, that's others looking at us and saying, wow, what they got is genuine. It's real. It's something that is real meaningful to the person who claims it. The third one is, our good deeds make glorifying God contagious. As we live out our life for him, it can become a very contagious kind of thing. Now, the fourth one today deals with more how those good deeds affect us. And that sounds maybe a bit selfish, but there are some benefits that come from living our life for God. And here is fourth reason. God, good works are important for growing in and maintaining a relationship with Jesus Christ. So I wanted to deal with that one this morning in light of the texts that were read, and especially the text in Colossians chapter 1. You kind of notice, you read through this text, there are words that are used that do tend to bear out in action. One is love itself. I mean, Paul is acknowledging in these verses the love you have for all the saints. Well, love is typically something that's seen, it's tangible, it's real. And so there is good things being done out of that agape love that they have. Another word that's used here is producing fruit. And fruit is something tangible that you see. And so in the lives of the believers, there was fruit coming from their relationship with Jesus Christ, and it was being shown. Another one is later on in that text, verse 10 is full of these, living a life worthy. So there's something about living it out in a way that honors God. Another one is pleasing Him. And that can be both internal and external in the way we live our lives. Again, growing fruit and growing are other words that are used. So these words are right there in the text about how we live our lives. So I wanted to look at this fourth reason, as I just mentioned to you. Now, I think it's rather obvious, if you think about it, a relationship can never be the same. It's either growing or it's deteriorating. Think about that for just a moment. A relationship with someone is either growing or deteriorating. And it might be over a long period of time that it's doing one or the other, but it is either growing or deteriorating. It's like gravity. Gravity eventually takes you down, doesn't it? I mean, takes me down here too. You know, they said that chest and drawers kind of syndrome, but you know, gravity takes you down. Well, I think it's the same thing with relationships if we aren't working on them. They're doing something. They're either growing or they're deteriorating, and it's based on how we live in that relationship as to which it's actually doing. So think about that for a moment as we deal with this fourth reason here. I mean, think about it. What about some of those high school relationships that you had way back when? Some of them maybe have stayed along over the years, but many of them, because you haven't been in contact, you've drifted apart from those relationships. Or college, or whatever it might be. You drift from them because you don't work on them. You drift on them because you don't work on that relationship. There's not contact being made. I have a reunion coming up. I think I'm going to go if I've got time to go. It's going to be 40 years, high school graduation. Most people go to graduation, high school graduation reunions because they want to see what everybody else looks like, you know. And but no, you actually go a lot of times because you want to see people you haven't seen for a while, relationships that you had that have not been worked on. And so you go to these reunions to see other people. Half the time they have no idea who you are because you've changed so much. Oh, well. You did too. some of the guys don't have any hair, you know, and again, the body doesn't look like it used to, all those kinds of things. But, you know, it's great to connect with people again. You know, also a marriage that's never worked on, but just tolerated, isn't really a good marriage either, is it? Think about it in relationships. This is one of the reasons for this fourth reason in growing and maintaining a relationship with God Himself. Who benefits from this? Some people might think it's God who benefits from having a good relationship with us. Not at all. Not at all. God doesn't need us. And I know for some that's kind of a hard thing to hear. You think, oh, I think God needs me. He needs me to do all the things I got to do. He needs me for this and He needs me for that. God doesn't need us to get the job done. But God does desire to have a relationship with us and allow us to be used and encourage us to be used for His purposes and for His glory. But I want to tell you something here. The one who benefits in this relationship is not God. It's not Christ. It's us. It's us. He doesn't need us, but He wants us. I want you to get that this morning, folks. God wants us. And He wants us in an intimate relationship with Him. He wants us to be about Him. He wants us to be about His purposes. And that's where a lot of this kicks in the way we live our life for Him and bring honor and glory and praise to Him. Because if we understand what He's done for us, oh, we want to do this. I told you at the very beginning of this whole message series that I only really needed one reason. And that reason was, I am so grateful for what God has done for me in Jesus Christ. My response is, I want to live my life for Him and to do the things that God will. I only need that reason. I need no other. But just so that we have a bunch of other reasons, that's why we're going through this morning. God doesn't need our love. He doesn't need our gifts. He doesn't need our works. He just wants us to be in relationship to Him. It's not about religion. It's about relationship. It's not a competition for who can outdo the other, because guess what? He already won that one, in case you're wondering. He definitely won that one. There is no way we can outdo Him. Spend the whole rest of your life trying to do so would be fine, but God has outdone us, especially when we look at the work that He did through His Son, Jesus Christ, who gave His life on the cross at Calvary for us. Sinners. We are the beneficiaries of that relationship. So, I'd like to look at these last two verses of the text this morning that was read to you in Colossians. These last two verses kind of flesh out for us Paul's desire for the church in relationship to their relationship with Jesus Christ. And so he starts out in verse 9, he says, fill us with the knowledge of your will. How do we get to know the knowledge of God's will? Through His Word. We don't have the privilege that some of the first disciples did, when we could just walk down the road with Jesus and say, hey, what do you think? And talk to Him in that kind of way. But God has not left us absent of His Word. And that is speaking to us. And through His Word and through the Holy Spirit that resides within our hearts, we do get the opportunity to know more of His will, the knowledge of His will. You know, the Spirit told me is a dangerous statement when we're inquiring as an uninformed person. Let me share that again. I've heard over the years of my life sometimes people who might be, sometimes they're way out there somewhere. Oh, God told me. The Spirit told me. Sometimes that is definitely true. And God is working in a powerful way through His Holy Spirit, speaking in our hearts to do such and such and to go to so and so and to be who God's called us to be. But be careful of using that statement when we are not in much of a relationship with the One who sent His Spirit to reside within us. Sometimes it may not be God's Spirit told me, but it's my own spirit that wants to do what I want to do, and I want to put God's stamp of approval on it. Be careful with that, because verse 9 is telling us if we want to go out and do what God wants us to do, we need to be filled with the knowledge of His will. We need to know His Word. We need to be in tune with Him. We need to be in relationship with Him. We need to be praying that God would guide and direct our lives, because then we become more and more sure of what God really wants us to do, rather than sometimes just seeming to be lost in the shuffle. Why? Because I've never worked on the relationship. How do we know what the other person wants us to do in a relationship unless we're in a relationship, right? How do we know what God wants us to do unless we're in some kind of a loving, intimate relationship with Him? And so I encourage us with verse 9 to be filled with the knowledge of His will by reading His Word, by praying, by listening to His Spirit as we do that, by being with other people of like spirit and like mind in Christ. Being filled with the knowledge of His will. Later in verse 10, he says, so that we can live a life worthy of the Lord. Now, that's an interesting statement, because is any one of us worthy? The answer, I think, to me is an unequivocal no. No. It goes back to the Ephesians 2 thing I started the whole thing with. We are not saved by our works. We are not worthy of God's love. We are not worthy of heaven because we're not good enough. He filled the gap in Jesus Christ. That being said in this statement, I believe what he's trying to tell us to do, or tell us to be in the way we live our life and the good deeds that we do, is that we need to live a life that reflects what God has done for us. We need to live a life that reflects what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. And that is done by fleshing out our love for Him and the way we do love and behave around other people. We ought to aspire to be worthy, knowing that He did fill that gap. Folks, if we think we've got to be worthy, then you'll never believe that you've gotten there. And I want you to know that that has been taken care of already. God took care of that in Jesus Christ. You see, knowing how to live is a stepping stone to actually doing it. So let's aspire to it as we live our lives each and every day. Another phrase there in verse 10 of the text is pleasing Him by bearing fruit in every good work. Selfless good works, that is, works that seek God's glory, will bear fruit. If God's glory isn't sought, then the blessing of that work is short-lived. See, many times we do good works for selfish reasons. Remember, I told you in the first 3 weeks that these good deeds that we do are not, it's not a benefit for us, it's a benefit for others. You know, their salvation and how they view Christianity as we live our lives and all those kinds of things and how it can be a contagious sort of thing the way we live our life, because God's receiving glory. If we are the ones that are seeking the glory, it is short-lived, it's temporary, it doesn't have the effect that it would if we do these things only for the glory of God and not for self. We're pleasing Him by bearing fruit in every good work. Pleasing Him, pleasing Him, pleasing Him. Note that as we live our lives, we're doing it for His glory. Not to get the applause of men, but we're doing it for His glory. If God's glory isn't sought, then the blessing, like I said, is short-lived. Whatever you do, here's another text in 1 Corinthians 10:31 that says it in a different way, but very succinctly. Whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. Whatever it is we do, do it for the glory of God. Whether it's cleaning, I'll tell you something. One day, years ago in this church, and this person isn't here. They're gone. No one knows about it, so I'm going to share this story with you. I was here one time, and there was an elderly person that came into the church, and they were having some struggles, and they ended up going into the bathroom, the ladies' bathroom. And I'll tell you, it was an exploded mess in there. And they came out, couldn't get themselves dressed. And here I am, thinking, oh Lord, did I go into ministry for this? But I could see in the look of this person how humiliated they were by what had happened. And I thought, Lord, help me to do whatever I got to do in such a humble and God-pleasing kind of way that this person can leave here with dignity and not with shame. And so I had to suck it up. And I did it. I didn't want to. Because that was me, you see. That was me. But I wanted them to know, too, that it doesn't matter what your situation is. It doesn't matter what's going on. You know, I want you to know that I love you because God loves me, and I'm going to go ahead and do whatever it is that I need to do. And no one else knew about that. I'm not saying that to toot a horn, because I'm telling you what I wanted to do was walk the other way and just let it be. Janitor will be in a couple days anyway. Whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. whatever you do. I think it gives you different perspective when you can put yourself in that situation. And I'll tell you, there are a lot of times I have not put myself in that situation. The next phrase in that verse 10, and we'll be done here pretty quick. Growing in the knowledge of God. That's relationship. Growing in the knowledge of God. That really is relationship. That really is about a relationship that we have with Him. Doing the things that we do is strengthening our relationship with Him. Because in the act of doing His will, we begin to increase in the knowledge of God. By doing His will, we begin to realize that our relationship with Him is stronger. By doing His will, we begin to understand the mind of God and the heart of God as we live our lives. And so that when we pray and when we walk and when we do and when we think more and more, it seems like our minds and hearts are in tune with Him rather than in tune with our own selfish kinds of things. We become more like Him. We become more like the one who we aspire to because we're living out our lives in a way that brings glory and honor and praise to Him. The clear benefits, as I close, are things like this. We can become a rock during good times and bad times because we worship the one who is the rock. Because we know the one who is the rock. Because we know the one who is the cornerstone. Because we know Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. And we love God with all of our hearts. And so when we're going through the toughest things that go on in our life, our focus can be not on the thing that's going on in my life, but it can be on the relationship I have with Him. And so that whatever's going on in my life, I still know that I have someone who loves me dearly and I love Him dearly. And I can make it through anything and everything that comes my way. I can be a rock because He is the rock. And I have a relationship with the one who is the rock. You see that? If my relationship is poor and I'm not doing His will, the deeds that I'm doing in my life, it's all selfish kinds of things. Then when the tough times come, it becomes very hard to get through. This is a relationship that can always be close. It never is distant. Oh, it might seem at times that God's not hearing me when I'm going through the horrible thing that I'm going through, but He is still there. I know that because I've been in relationship with Him, and I know that He'll never leave me. I know that He'll never forsake me. And as we live our life wanting to bring honor and glory and praise to Him, as we live with the deeds that we live to maintain and grow in that relationship with Him, we have all the tools that are necessary to walk the journey. Why? Because we are in a very intimate relationship with the one who can do above and beyond whatever we think or imagine. Another benefit to why good deeds are good. Let's pray. God, thank You. Thank You for showing us the way. Thank You for being the example. Thank You for dying on the cross and raising again. Thank You for loving us in spite of ourselves. And thank You for the privilege as we live our lives to do the things we do so that we can grow in our relationship with You. We give You thanks and we give You praise in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And that